Blog Talk Radio.
Erica, are you still there?
Yes, it started.
It's to you to be on that bridge. It's to you.
Have you ever met someone who might unexpectedly make strange sounds or inappropriate remarks? You may have met a person with Tourette syndrome. Turns out that one in every 360 children, that is 138,000 children in the U.S., have this diagnosis. Stay tuned to hear more from one courageous and enterprising young woman about this powerful syndrome. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, love mentor, and relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Lessons for the Soul, Virtual Summit Packages, and the Love Mastery Secrets Blueprint. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Jessica Smith has always been in love with books, even before she learned to read. Once she learned how, there was no turning back. She read so much growing up that she was once grounded from books for an entire summer during middle school. She has always dreamed of being a writer. Growing up in Logandale, Nevada, she left her hometown to attend both Snow College and Brigham Young University in Hawaii to obtain a degree in international cultural studies with an emphasis in communication. Her senior year of high school, Jessica started making strange noises. At 24, she was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome. This has given her a unique perspective that she wants to share with the world. She currently resides in Salt Lake City, Utah, as an active blogger and writer, publishing under the pen name Paula Jean Ferry. In addition to reading and writing, Jessica is open to almost any activity involving people. She loves to sing and dance, watch theater productions and musical performances, and wants to travel the world. Jessica is currently actively involved in The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And she does some really wonderful charity work. So I'm delighted to welcome you, Jessica Smith. So let's begin by you tell us about your background, your education, what you write about. You know, just share with us a little of your background and what it was like for you to have these sounds coming out and then discover that you had a diagnosis of Tourette.
My experience was actually very different from most people with Tourette syndrome. Tourette's, especially when you look at statistics, will mostly deal with children. However, I started at the age of 17. As a senior in high school, I knew who I was. I knew what I was trying to say and communicated to others, you know, sorry, I don't know what that was. I wasn't able to control what just happened. Unlike most children who aren't able to communicate that as well, they usually just get labeled as bad kids and being disruptive. And so for me, it was just a little different because, oh, it just kind of came out. It was, maybe it was a hiccup, maybe it was a kind of like a cough. It was kind of hard to tell. So I have a very different perspective as far as how I see it. It's not something that's ever been in the way because I see it more like a cough, a hiccup, or a sneeze, or some other bodily function that you really can't control. And so that was because I was diagnosed even later than when I started making noises. It took about 7 years to get diagnosed. I used my senior year in college to write a research paper on what Tourette syndrome is and specifically how it affects communication, which eventually evolved into my first book.
And tell us the name of your first book.
The first book is called Awkwardly Strong, From Insecure to Inspirational.
What do you mean by awkwardly strong?
Talking about how to take awkward situations, because we all have them. They may come in different forms. I mean, I yell in the middle of church functions or in the middle of work, on the phone call. Different experiences that I can't control, and they can be really awkward just because people don't understand what is going on. Once they understand what's going on, the awkwardness suddenly disappears because it's just kind of part of the day and part of what happens. This is my normal. But everyone has awkward experiences, and what makes things awkward is that no one really knows how to respond to the situation. And so it's taking those awkward situations that we are all in often in our lives and how to utilize those to our advantage. Someone needs to take control when no one knows what's going on. So that can actually become a strength to take control of those situations.
Now, as you're talking, I suddenly thought of a situation that I was once in. I had an uncle who had just passed away. We were at the cemetery site, and one of my other relatives almost like stepped over, and someone said, "It's not your time yet," like he was going to fall into the pit for where the coffin was. And I could hardly contain myself. You know, I'm at a funeral. It would have been so inappropriate, but I had everything that I could do to contain that laugh. So I just realized that I've had a taste of what you're talking about, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably slightly awkward because no one really knows, and everyone follows different cultural rules. This is part of why college education comes into it. Right.
Yeah, you don't laugh at a funeral. I mean, that's really inappropriate.
Right. But it was a funny comment, though, too.
Well, it was funny, right? It's not your time. But anyway, so tell us, what exactly is Tourette's syndrome?
Tourette's syndrome is classified by both a vocal tic and a physical tic, meaning there are noises that come out of my mouth that I literally cannot control, and there are physical movements that my body makes that I also cannot control. There's really no rhyme, reason, or pattern as to what those are. Everyone has several different tics, so just because you hear one doesn't mean you've heard the full spectrum of what we're capable of doing beyond our control. But it's there are several different noises and actions that a person can make. And where they're also different and they vary from person to person, Tourette's is incredibly individual.
Yeah, and I have heard people with Tourette saying curse words or insulting someone. Is that part of the syndrome?
That is. That's actually a form called coprolalia, where sometimes their vocal tic is going to be incredibly inappropriate. Swear words, sexual innuendos, and they cannot control, they cannot stop those words coming out of their mouth. But that's a form called coprolalia. There's another form called echolalia, which is actually what I have. I tend to repeat things that I hear, kind of like a parrot. Our time clock at work will make a noise every time someone punches in, and I will repeat that noise. I repeat songs that I hear, phrases that I hear, and I'm not trying to make fun of anyone by mimicking what they're saying or doing, but that's part of my Tourette's. I can't stop those.
So just tell us again how old you were when you first had it happen, and how did people react, and how did you react?
The first time it happened, I was 17 years old. I was at work in our public library, and it was just a little noise. It did sound an awful lot like a hiccup, which is why I have that correlation in my mind. It was just kind of a short little noise, and so I didn't necessarily think anything of it because maybe I've got the hiccups. Oh, it was only one. Okay, we'll just keep going throughout my day. It wasn't until I started doing them more often. One of the women at work started to count how many times I would do this during a shift. And when she would count them, they would actually increase. And then from there, they've just kind of evolved into the various tics that I have at this time. So I like to say I grew into my tics as opposed to someone who may grow out of them, because that does happen on occasion, very rare. But it is possible for kids to grow out of it, and I grew into them instead.
So they increased over time.
Mine did. And everyone's experience will be different, but mine did increase.
And what do they know about the cause or the connection or the brain connection?
Very little. Just as a brief history of Tourette syndrome, it was actually first discovered and considered a diagnosis in the mid-1800s. So it's been around for a while. They think that possibly some of the people that were burned and tortured during the Salem witch trials might have actually had Tourette's rather than being a witch. So it's also been around a lot longer than people anticipate. But we still know next to nothing about it. Every doctor is going to have a different theory or idea, as does every person who has it. We connect with the ideas that feel like it fits our situation best. But some will put it on the autism spectrum. Some will say that psychological and as a result of sexual trauma as a child. Some say that it's a diet and exercise thing. There's a million different theories, and no one really has anything set in stone at this point.
It sounds like a connection in the brain, like something triggered in the brain.
Yes. Yes. That is the one thing that is consistent, is that it is that it is in the brain, whether it's neurological versus psychological. I think most people, majority, tend to lean towards neurological more than psychological. There's very, very few that consider it a psychological disorder.
Right. And, you know, there may be a psychological component, but there's something going on. So how has this affected your relationships over the years?
For me, honestly, it's probably just increased them and deepened them. It's kind of great to see. People are just wonderful. I love people so much. I can be walking down the street and just start screaming, which causes people to get concerned. People ask me, are you okay? It's a great icebreaker. It's a great conversation starter. And so I've been able to meet and get to know more people than I probably would have without Tourette syndrome. I'm not the type of person that would normally just walk up to a stranger and start a conversation. But because I have Tourette, those conversations happen much more easily. And I've had several people tell me that it's endearing, that they love that I do it, that, you know, they have that strong connection and then that great first start memory. And because I've got a fairly positive attitude about it, I've just been told that it's endearing and it's deepened a lot of the connections that I have.
It's interesting, and it sounds as though you've had a positive attitude and not feeling ashamed and hiding, but you've been open about it, and people respond well to that.
Most do. On occasion, you will get people who don't, but I think for the most part, people want to see good in other people, and when you look for the good in people, you will find that.
And do you have any other friends who have Tourette?
Very few that I've met in person. There are a couple of friends that I have, but most of them I've met through online support groups, and we're friends and we connect on social media, but they're not people that I've actually met in person. But again, great people that I've had deep and meaningful conversations with. as a result of having this connection with Tourette syndrome.
So it sounds as though support is really valuable, and you've had a lot, or you've created a lot of support.
It is. It's very important, and I think that's why so many people with Tourette's do tend to be very compassionate towards other people with it, because they're more empathetic. They understand what's going on. If I meet someone with Tourette's and share, oh, yeah, I've got Tourette's too, it's almost like an instant connection. I've met several people that have been that. As I'm working on growing into the writing world, Richard Paul Evans is a very well-known author with Tourette syndrome, and when I had an opportunity to meet him, it was great how he just kind of took me under his wing. I've received some great counsel and insight, not only for Tourette syndrome, but also in regards to writing as a result of this connection. So the support within the community is absolutely phenomenal.
Just say his name again for anyone who's listening.
His name is Richard Paul Evans.
Thank you. And he has several books.
Mm-hmm. He does.
All right.
He's quite big. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the common fears or concerns that people have with Tourette syndrome, either the person who has Tourette syndrome or family members or friends that know them? What are some of the fears and concerns?
I think the biggest one is a desire to fit in and feel comfortable, whether you're the person with Tourette syndrome, whether you're someone who knows someone with Tourette. Everyone just wants to feel loved and accepted. And because that can be a very scary and a very vulnerable act, some people will shy away from it more than they will lean into that. So you get polar opposites as far as relationships go. Some people will stay away from relationships entirely because they're just scared of not feeling loved. They'll hide their Tourette syndrome. They'll hide from the community in general. I know several people who just tend to stay home, and part of it is because their tics are much more severe and much more debilitating. It makes it very hard for them to work physically when their arms are jerking around, and it. And so I can understand that aspect as well, but as far as the mental and emotional aspect of hiding from relationships, that's something that is a big concern to me and a common problem that I see.
So what have you done, and what can other people do to overcome these fears?
I think the biggest thing is being able to understand what it is and how that connects to who you are, because we can't have successful relationships with other people and understand who they are and love them for who they are if we can't even do that with ourselves. We spend the most time with ourselves, you know, 24/7. We can't escape our own selves. And if we don't have that love and acceptance for who we are and the things that we do, and understanding that we may not be perfect, but we are still worthwhile, I don't think that we'll be able to form those meaningful connections and relationships.
So it's exciting that you can have a diagnosis that may seem negative, and you can turn it into something positive, which you seem to have done. So who is the person that influenced you the most to really understand Tourette syndrome and deal with it and have a positive attitude?
For the most part, I think the biggest person and the biggest influence was myself, recognizing as I spend time with myself that I am not my Tourette syndrome. It is something that I have, but that does not define me. And as I spent time with myself, getting to know myself and exploring my own self-worth, I was then able to reach out to others who have had a tremendous impact in seeing the great things that we can do. There are so many great people with Tourette syndrome, and sometimes they are a more mild case, sometimes they're not. There's an actor named Dan Aykroyd who I believe has Tourette syndrome. I think I read that somewhere online. I know that there's a couple of major league soccer players that have Tourette syndrome. my personal favorite, like I mentioned before, Richard Paul Evans, and what he's been able to do with his writing. He's written 35 or 36 books at this point, and every single one of them has been on a New York Times bestsellers list, which is a huge accomplishment for anyone, much less someone with Tourette's. But he's one that does lean into that vulnerability in relationships, and that's what a lot of his books are about. And so having these mentors and these people that we can look to saying, look, you can still be successful. You can still do what you want to do. You can still act. You can play soccer. You can write. And realize that we have things that we can contribute to the world if we just stop hiding.
Well, that's a message for all of us.
I think it is.
On a flight
home. I agree.
I just watched this beautiful movie called Breathe about someone who got polio, and it's a true story, and was on a breathing machine, and the hospital would have kept him there for the rest of his life, but his wife and the friends that he had got him out of the hospital, created a chair for him, and he was able to move around. He got onto a plane. They created parties around him, and then he went to Germany, and there were people in these machines in Germany that were, they looked like, I don't know what, isolation, like freezers with the person's head sticking out and a whole bunch of people like that, just being on life support with no quality of life. And that's changed, that, you know, in the world for all different syndromes, and Tourette is just one, then we have to accept everybody.
Absolutely. I love that. That sounds like a great movie. I might have to write that down.
Well, I happened to see it on a flight home, and it was really powerful, you know, and this is going on for whatever the syndrome is, that we need more acceptance, you know, bringing people into the group, letting them be who they are. So tell us about your writing. Like, you have a blog. What do you write about there? What's the name of it?
I have several different ways that I'm writing, and I try and be consistent on. I've got a blog. It's squeakyjess.blogspot.com. And for the most part, that's just the fun stories that happen with my Tourette's, and how I take these awkward situations and how they become fun and good experiences. Every once in a while, I'll put, you know, today was a hard day. This is the, you know, hard experience that happened. I don't want people to think that having Tourette's is all sunshine and rainbows. But to see that at the same time, there are so many opportunities to use this. I write on medium.com, again, under the name Paula Jean Ferry, and those are more information-based as far as different things to enhance quality of life, that lessons that I've learned from having Tourette syndrome, and how to utilize those to make the best quality of life possible, and different ways that we can take control of those situations in our lives. As well as my two books that I have written. The first one I mentioned before, Awkwardly Strong. The second one I just finished back in January is called Tragically Strong, Navigating the Change When Life Turns Upside Down. Because life is hard, and sometimes that affects us a lot. So I have that out as well.
No, that's one of the things is that there are people brought up to believe that life should be easy. So when there is a hardship, they can't cope with it. And that's why this is really valuable, what you're sharing.
Invaluable. It's helped my life and changed my life so much. And these lessons that I've learned, especially being at such a young age. I mean, I'm only 32, but I've experienced so many different things in life and learned so much as a result of this Tourette syndrome, and how to heal and how to deal with hard things and how to deal with changes, that's something I feel like needs to be shared.
And what have you learned about relationships? That's my area of interest and expertise. From having this syndrome, what have you learned personally about relationships?
That they are hard. And can be scary. That's that vulnerability aspect that I was talking about before. because just because I am who I am, some people will predetermine, you know, based on things that I do. But relationships do take work. If I take the time to explain rather than let people run away, I can usually turn that person into a friend. So they're hard, they're scary, they're terrifying, but they're so rewarding, not only with other people, but that relationship with ourselves as well. I'm a big advocate of healthy relationships with ourselves and how that affects healthy relationships with others.
Mm-hmm. And healthy relationship with yourself also includes with your body, taking care of it.
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, there's definitely times that my Tourette's will flare up. They call them tick attacks, and it's just so much more difficult because I haven't taken the time to properly take care of my body, because that is a relationship that is affected, especially with one with some kind of difference, my neurological disorder. I need to take care of my health because it does affect literally everything else. So not only my relationship with myself, but my relationship with my Tourette's.
And have you found different foods to have an effect?
I personally have not. Some people say that they have. I haven't experimented as much with that. But I do know that different situations, if I get overwhelmed or stressed or angry, my tics will increase, and not the good kind of increase. That's usually my physical tics, which do get painful. My vocal tics tend to increase when I'm having fun or I'm excited, usually because those are the ones that create really funny stories.
So let's just end with one final thing. How has Tourette's syndrome actually been a benefit in your life? And what would you recommend to anyone who's dealing with Tourette?
Tourette's has been a huge benefit in my life. I feel like before I even started making noises back in high school and younger, I was a very shy, withdrawn, and scared individual, and wondered about my self-worth and things that I could contribute to the world. And Tourette's has kind of given me it's given me a lot of that self-confidence so that I can talk to people. Because I have to explain what's going on. And because I've been able to talk to people, I've seen this need of people to understand others who are different. It's given me a direction to take my writing. It's given me a lot of life purpose. I wouldn't be who I am without my Tourette syndrome. I would still probably be the same girl I was in high school, where I was shy and scared and quite withdrawn. But I've seen so many wonderful changes and growth in my life because I face those challenges head on. It's taught me how to overcome hard things and realizing that I can do it and I can be successful when those hard things come. And that's something that I would recommend to anyone, whether you have Tourette's or not, is leaning into those hard experiences and realizing how much strength we really have and how much success we can have when we lean into those, and how much growth and opportunities come as a result. Opportunities in relationships, opportunities in jobs, careers, passions, habits, anything that you want, really.
It's wonderful. Jessica, it's just delightful speaking with you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Erica. It's been a pleasure to be here.
And also, how can our listeners contact you if someone wants to? What's the best way?
Best way would probably be I have an email, paula@paulajeanferry.com, or contacting me through my blog or on Medium. You're able to leave comments on either one of those. If you need a more personal venue, then I would recommend paula@paulajeanferry.com.
And how do you spell Ferry?
E-R-R-I. Paula and Jean is J-E-A-N-F-E-R-R-I.
Okay, so it's Paula Jean Ferry.
Correct.
Okay. Paula at paulajeanferry.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. So thank you again for joining me on this radio show.
Thank you, Erica.
And for those of you listening, I'm Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please contact me for a consultation or a love mastery session at my website, drericagoodstone.com. And keep your eyes open for an email or social media about the upcoming Miraculous Healing Masterclass Summit. That will be coming out just in a few weeks. Bye for now.